We're holding the Rambam's explanation on the Mishnah, Pirush HaMishnayos, and we're doing the Rambam's introduction to the 10th chapter of Sanhedrin, the chapter called Chelek, or the chapter begins with Kol Yisrael Yeshnam Chelek L'Olam Haba. All of Israel has a portion in the world to come. And the Rambam is in the process of explaining to us what are these concepts of Olam Haba, the world to come, Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden, La'atid Lavo, Tchiyat HaMitim. The Rambam has told us, as part of his introduction, that there are three types of people when it comes to understanding what our sages say. The Rambam said, one group says that whatever our sages said has to be understood as is, and they're not willing to accept any other explanation, any other interpretation. They think they're honoring the rabbis by going blindly by what the rabbis have said, even though it contradicts common knowledge sometimes. And the Rambam says that's group number one, and many, many people will subscribe to that group. Group number two, they read what's in the Torah, and they read what our sages said, and they say, well, that doesn't match with what we know from science, that doesn't match with our laws of logic, so must be everything the sages said is ridiculous, must be they're not as smart as people think they are, and they mock what our sages say. And the third group, the Rambam said, they say, well, our sages were very, very wise people, and what they said doesn't exactly fit with what we know of the laws of logic and the laws of science and philosophy, so it must be that our sages had a deeper meaning, and we don't know what it really is, but it can't be that they meant what is simply understood in their words, and we don't know what they really meant. So the Rambam says, and now we're holding page Kuf Lamed Zayin 137, Ve'im ata koren, if you, the reader, me'achat mishtei hakitot harishonot, if you subscribe to one of the two groups, to one of the first two philosophies, either taking what our sages say at face value and disregarding logic, or disregarding what our sages say and subscribing to logic, al ta'iz bidvarai b'shum davar min ha'inyan hazeh. Al ta'ayen bidvarai b'shum davar min ha'inyan hazeh. Don't bother reading on, the Rambam says. If you're from one of the first two groups, so don't bother. I'm not talking to you. Don't listen to what I have to say from now on. Ki lo yitim lecha mimenu meuma, because nothing from what I say will be palatable to you. V'lo od, ela sheyazik lecha v'tisneu. Not only that, says the Rambam, but it will damage you, it will harm you, and you'll hate what I have to say. So don't bother. Ki ech yitimu minei hamazon kalei hakamut mimotzei haichut la'adam shekvar hurgal liminei hamazon haraim v'akvedim. For how will food that's light in amount, meaning there isn't a lot of it, but it's temperate in its quality. It's mimutza. It's of good average quality. How will that be palatable to a person that's already been accustomed to bad food that's heavy? Meaning, if a person is used to eating certain things, so even if you try to give him something that's better, if it's not what he's used to, so it doesn't taste good to him. The Gemara says that whole wheat bread is less good than bread that's refined. So I'm used to eating whole wheat bread. I don't like refined bread.
I'm going to have to take that as an allegorical meaning. I mean, of course. I can't take it at face value because it contradicts my known logic, and I don't want to mock the sages. So I've just got to take it as a deeper meaning. I don't know what their deeper meaning is.
The Rambam's just giving an example. I'm saying, if you're used to eating one kind of food, so you try feeding you even something that's better, it won't necessarily taste better. Yeah.
Why it seems that some people who are following the sages, it's like someone who's doing his vote and maybe he's not on the highest level, that's a good thing, no?
It's a good thing. But bottom line, around I'm saying, if you want to understand what's going on, you have to know how to understand what our sages have to say. And if you're already subscribing to a theory that won't allow you to come to understanding what they say, so don't bother. What? I'm not sure these people need kiruv. Sometimes just because a person has a misunderstanding doesn't mean you have to correct it. Sometimes it's better to leave him to live with his misunderstanding. Many of the books of the Rishonim on philosophy begin with a similar introduction. They begin with saying the majority of people don't bother questioning, the majority of people are happy living without understanding, and they think they do understand, and they don't bother reading this book. And you know what? The book isn't written for them. You see that many, many Rishonim begin this way. We're not looking to get people to have questions and answer them. People are happy living without understanding, so let them continue living without understanding. It's not necessarily the worst thing in the world. It's not the ideal, but it's not terrible. הנך רואה דבר אותם שהוגלו באכילת הצלים והשומים והדגים על המן. מהו? מנפשנו קצה בנחמה קלוקל. The Rambam is coming to support what he just said. He said, there were people who were accustomed to eating garlic and onion and fish, and suddenly God gave them a heavenly food called man, and they look at it and they say, what's that? And they say, in another place in the Torah, the Jewish people said, we're disgusted with this light bread. Now, God gave them the best food in the world, heaven-sent bread. But they were used to eating bad foods all their lives in Egypt. They grew up on fish and garlic and onion. So they wanted their fish and garlic and onion, regardless of how unhealthy it is to live on fish and garlic and onion. Ve'im ata me'anshei hakat ha'shlishit, but if you're from the third group, she'kol zman she'yizdamen lecha davar midivrehem mima she'asechel marchiko, תתאב אצלו ותדע שהוא חידה, תתעכב אצלו ותדע שהוא חידה ומשל, ותישאר בתרדת הלב ואימוץ המחשבה בהבנתו. But if you're from the third group, that whenever you encounter something that our sages said that seems to contradict logic and reasoning, so you detain yourself a little bit by that passage, and you know that there is some hidden meaning here, and you try figuring it out, and it bothers you that you don't understand what our sages really meant. Doeg nimtso derech ha'emet, you're worried to try and find the true path. V'rayon ha'tzedek, and to get an idea of what true righteousness is. Kmo she'amar limtso divrei chepetz v'chatuv yosher divrei emet, v'chatuv yosher divrei emet, hitbonen bidvarai, if you're from this third group, that you do try to understand, and you don't disregard logic and say, whatever our sages said, that's it. As much as it'll contradict logic, I don't care. That's what they said, that must be the way it is. The Gemara says that thunder comes when two clouds crash, must be thunder comes when two clouds crash. We see clouds colliding in heaven all the time and there isn't thunder, so you disregard that. So if you want to be that way, so the Rambam says we have nothing to talk about. But if you want to say, well, how does that work? Our sages said one way, they also saw clouds colliding all the time and there was no thunder. So I'm not that much smarter than they are, and on the other hand, I'm not smarter than they are at all, but I do have a question on what they said. So then you hear what they say, you don't disregard it. On the other hand, you do apply logic and say, I have a question. So then the Rambam says, that's good, so long as you respect what they say, and you recognize that there's a deeper meaning and you want to understand it, so then look into what I have to say. And after you read what I have to say, this was all an introduction to the Rambam's introduction. Right? This whole section that we're reading is an introduction. And this was an introduction to the major introduction. Rambam says, if you're from this third group, then read on, because you will gain from what I have to say, hopefully. Now I'll begin speaking about what I wanted to speak about all along. Da, you should know. Ki kishem shelo yasiga suma at tzvaim, that the same way that a blind person cannot fathom what colors are, velo yasig acheresh et hakolot, and a deaf person cannot fathom what sounds are, velo asaris tavat hamishgal, nor can a person who's been castrated understand what it is to have desire, כך לא ישיגו הגופות התענוגות הנפשיים. So too, the physical body cannot fathom what the pleasure of the nefesh is. It's a spiritual pleasure. So to try and perceive it with the physical body is impossible. וכשם שאין הדג מכיר יסוד האש, מפני שהוא שרוי באפחו, just as the fish doesn't recognize one of the Rambam is going with the ancient understanding that there are the four basic elements. One is fire, and the fish is never exposed to fire. So a fish, just as a fish cannot recognize what is this basic element of fire, because he is constantly in the opposite of fire, he's constantly in water. Kach lo yodea ba'olam hazeh agashmi Tanugei Ha'olam Ruchani. So too, a person who is steeped with the pleasures of this world cannot fathom what are the pleasures of a spiritual world. Lefi she'en etzlo klal oneg zulat oneg agufot bilvad v'asagat achushim min ha'machal v'amishteh v'atashmish. Because this person has never experienced anything, any form of pleasure other than physical pleasure. Pleasure from what he eats, from what he drinks, and from his having marital relations. Those are the basic physical pleasures. So the Rambam says a person who is steeped in physical pleasures is not going to be able to fathom a world of pleasures that is not physical. V'chol shehu chutz mizeh, הרי הוא אצלנו בלתי מצוי ולא נכירהו ולא נשיגהו בעיון ראשון אלא אחרי חקירה מרובה. And anything that is external to this physical world that we are familiar with is something that is uncommon and we don't recognize it, we don't understand it at first glance, only after we delve into it a lot. והדבר כך לפי שאנו בעולם הגופני ולא נוכל להשיג אלא תענוגיו. And this is so because we're in a physical world and the only thing that we know how to perceive are the pleasures of the physical world. אבל התענוגות הנפשיים, but the spiritual pleasures, הם תמידיים בלתי נפסקים. But the spiritual pleasures, the Rambam says, are eternal. They do not cease, they do not stop, they do not pause. אין בינם ובין אלו התענוגות שום יחס. You can't compare the spiritual pleasure to the physical pleasure in any way. בשום אופן כלל. ואין נכון לנו לפי התורה ולא אצל האלוקיים מן הפילוסופים נאמר שהמלאכים והכוכבים והגלגלים אין להם תענוג. It's not right from what we know to say that all spiritual entities, the different forms of angels, they don't have any kind of pleasure. Angels have no pleasure. Rambam says that's not right. אלא יש להם תענוג גדול מאוד, that they have a tremendous pleasure, במה שהשכילו מן הבורא יתהדר ויתרומם. From what they have been able to understand of the Creator. May he be praised and exalted. והם על ידי כך בתענוג תמיד בלתי פוסק. And through this they have a form of pleasure that is eternal and does not pause or stop. ואין תענוג גופני אצלם. They don't have any physical pleasure, ואינם משיגים אותו לפי שהם חושים כמונו, לפי שאין להם חושים כמונו, שישיגו בהן מה שאנחנו משיגים. They do not have any physical pleasures, and they cannot attain physical pleasures, because they don't have the senses like we have senses. וכן אנחנו, by the same token, we, אם נזדקך ממנו, מי שנזדקך, if a person purifies himself, והגיע לאותה מעלה אחרי המוות, and he reaches that great level post-mortem, after death, לא ישיג את התענוגות הגופנים. After a person dies, he no longer has the senses, so a person who has purified himself after he dies, he won't be able to attain the physical pleasures, ולא ירצה, he won't want the physical pleasures either. אלא כמו שירצה המלך האדיר במלכות שיעקר ממלכתו ויחזור לשחק בכדור ברחובות. ואף על פי שכבר היה בזמן מסוים בלי ספק מעדיף את המשחק באותו הכדור על המלכות, והוא ביותו בגיל צעיר בזמן שכלותו בשני הדברים יחד, כמו שאנו מעדיפים היום התענוגות הנפשי, הגופני על הנפשי. The Rambam says, let me explain the point. You have a king, he's sitting on his throne, and he says, I want to go roll in the mud. I want to go play soccer. I don't want to sit here on the throne. So undoubtedly at one point the king was a kid. And when he was a kid, he preferred playing ball to doing his job as a king. But as the king grows up, he would be considered abnormal, crazy, stupid if he would prefer to go play ball, roll in the mud, or to doing his job as a king. So too, when a person attains the level he should, so when a person passes on, he no longer wants what was in this world. It's like going down to play ball. But before a person dies, his preference is for the physical. Meaning, when we're reading all this, so people are probably thinking to themselves, I'm not really interested in that. maybe the Rambam saying this should be good, but I'm not really attracted to some spiritual form of pleasure. Yeah, I can understand that. Maybe on a spiritual level I should be. Maybe this is a good thing. But you know what? I'm not really interested. Says the Rambam, yeah, that's natural. For a few reasons. One is because we're still here. We still have a body. So we have physical needs. And we do have physical pleasures. And it's like the kid who's told, well, one day you're going to be a king and that'll be more important to you. So he says, yeah, yeah, and he runs to continue playing with the ball. So that's basically how all of us are. We're reading this and we're saying, yeah, yeah, okay, but today this is where I am. I want my rogalach, I want my shoko. That's what I'm enjoying. You're telling me there's something better out there? Okay, fine, but this is good enough for me, right? So that's natural. It's natural if that's the way it should be. Firstly, because we are physical and we're in a physical world. And secondly, because we don't begin to understand what we're talking about. What is the spiritual pleasure? What does it mean to perceive what Hashem is? And why should that be pleasurable? Why should I even want that? We want to understand the religion, yeah. But to say that that's better than all the things that we've encountered in this world, which we know we enjoy, that's very difficult to perceive. Especially because we don't begin to perceive it in the first place. Forget it being better. We don't understand that there's such a concept as something that's so sweet. Okay, fine, yeah, you can tell me that. When I was a little boy, so the Rebbe told us in Priwan, said, I want you to know, everything you guys like, all the sweets, all the delicious things in this world, they don't come close to a second of Olam Haba. Olam Haba is so much more sweet, so much better than anything here. A person has to be foolish to spend his time trying to attain the pleasures of this world and forego the pleasures of the world to come. If a person's smart, then he says, I don't need the pleasures of this world, I don't need all the cake, I don't need all the chocolate, I need what's in the world to come, and he spends his life trying to attain that. So he gives a long, fiery speech. I came home and I told my mother, I said, Ma, I don't want chocolate anymore. I don't need cake anymore. I only want the world to come. So my mother looked at me and she smiled. And in a wise motherly way, she said, you know what? It's true. The world to come is very important and it's very, very good. But you know what? Chocolate also tastes good. And so does cake. And right now, you don't have the world to come available. And you do have chocolate and cake. So why don't we also enjoy the chocolate and cake and work on getting the world to come? It's interesting to remember a conversation that goes back to Pre-1A, because I remember the shock of hearing my mother say such a thing. So initially I was thinking, she doesn't understand.
Is that why Yeshua put it so bad? Is that why Yeshua put it so bad?
What?
A lot of Yeshua's have really...
I'm not understanding the word you're saying.
Some Yeshua's don't have good food.
Oh. No, I don't think that's why. No one aspires to have bad food. But what my mother was really telling me is you have to be realistic. You can't say I want something you don't even know what you want. That's still going in the way of the first group, which is so foolish. The Rambam himself said that in order for a person to want this world, the person has to begin to understand what it is. And we don't begin to understand what it is because this is the first time we're encountering such a concept. So now we have to stop and learn and analyze and think and learn some more and begin understanding what is this concept of a world which has sweetness, of a world that is so good because of a connection to God and is not connected to the worldly good. The imtit bonen be'inyan. I just wanted to stop because I had a feeling that we're reading this and people are starting to think, okay, this isn't for me. I enjoyed this class until now, but now I'm like, I don't know what the Rambam's talking about. So I hope you thought that, because that means you're thinking. If you didn't think that, then I have to ask myself, okay, what were you thinking? So maybe you guys had enough patience to say, well, let's see what the Rambam has to say further. That's also good. But you have to at least be honest with yourself. We don't really know what the Rambam's talking about yet. After we've learned this concept, we have to start analyzing it, thinking about it, and slowly we'll gain understanding as we learn more. But at first glance, we just see that the Rambam says this is the case. We don't really understand beyond that. Now we have to start thinking. Yeah?
That was my question, was is an early, a beginning definition of of Olam Haba, defined by what is not physical, and then you said, I think you said that as part of the one of the last sentences you said. So maybe that's yes.
I think that the Rambam is in the middle of a long explanation, and no.
Oh.
We should, before we jump to conclusions, because notice you use the term Olam Haba. Is the Rambam talking about Olam Haba, or is the Rambam talking about Tchiyat HaMitim or La'atid Lavo? So I'd rather not go into terminology, because the Rambam will go into defining the terms. So
what's the third case?
La'atid Lavo?
Yeah.
We'll see what each one is.
So isn't the Rambam
a simple translation?
La'atid, the future, Lavo, to come.
Is it like tomorrow?
I think it means beyond that.
That's what I'm asking.
No, la'atid lavo is a concept that we use about like the distant future, like when the Mashiach comes or something else.
That's different than Tchiyat
HaMitim. That's what the Rambam is going to deal with. What is Olam Haba? What is Tchiyat HaMitim? Yeah.
Also, isn't the Rambam's conception of all that stuff though a bit unorthodox? Doesn't he have a view that is very much unlike everyone else's? Like he says, he says Olam Haba is purely spiritual and not physical. Some say that he says that after you're resurrected, you'll die again, or that like.
But why analyze what the Rambam said before we saw it? Let's see it, and then we'll see.
Sounds good.
The imtit bonen, and if you'll analyze, you'll think binyan shnetan ugot alalu regarding these two forms of pleasure. You'll find how one is very low and one is very uplifted. And even in this world, a person can discern this. But notice the Rambam isn't saying, I just said so it should make sense to you. We just read the Rambam and we don't understand what the Rambam's talking about. The Rambam's telling us, if you want to understand this, you're going to have to think about it. You're going to have to analyze life. You're going to have to analyze the physical pleasures you have. And in truth, I'd love to continue, but we're sort of out of time. But I'd like to end with a few thoughts. No, we're going over to Halacha. I want us to recognize a few things. In every action we take in life, basically every minute we're living, there are two forces acting upon us. God created us of the physical and the spiritual. He put them both together. And the physical is pulling us down, and the spiritual is pulling us up, and there's a battle. The only time one can calm the battle is when he can make the physical spiritual. That's why some want to say, we say Shabbat Shalom. Because Shabbos is peace. You could have a good piece of cake and say, this is spiritual. I'm honoring the Shabbos. So there's peace. You're doing the physical in a spiritual way. God says enjoy. It's part of the mitzvah of Shabbos. Enjoy the Shabbos. On Shabbos, the person feels good. I'm not focusing on the physical. I'm doing spiritual here. I'm buying good food in honor of Shabbos. I'm supposed to buy good food in honor of Shabbos. Yeah?
I heard that in Grubb's view that you like at his house or he was serving food, he would always serve you more and more and more food, even though you were full. And on Shabbos, if you told him, I'm full, he goes, you know what to do with the Shabbos?
Okay, on his level, fine.
It's not some people do that.
Just as at any given moment a person has these two forces affecting him, the same thing is true when we approach philosophy. The Rambam writes that people err in philosophy mainly because they have a desire to have marital relations that the Torah forbids. Meaning that that's the one force that drives us most, because that's what we want. And being male. I mean, this class is for males. Talking our language. So the Rambam says that the primary reason behind the errors that people make philosophically when they make spiritual decisions is because they want to do what the Torah really forbids. And it's normal for people to want to do it. Going back every generation you review, you'll see that people fell at this point. The people in the desert, Lot, in our parsha, the people of Sodom and Amorah, there was no generation that didn't have this issue. Even last night we saw in Pirkei Drabbi Eliezer, even the chet of Adam Arishon was connected to that in a different way, but it was connected to that. So we just read about a concept which isn't easy to understand. And as with every other concept, if we're going to try to understand it, we have to recognize what are going to be our stumbling blocks, what's going to stop us. And one of the things that will stop every person from attaining truth is the fact that he has a desire to do things that the Torah doesn't let him. That's what causes a person to err in his philosophical approach to life. And that's also what's going to hold a person back from understanding these points. You understand that intrinsic to understanding this is also changing a way of life to an extent. Because if we're going to come to the conclusion that this is so much better, so then we're really going to want to strive for this more than other things. And right now, the only thing we know is that the other things are very delicious. So why would I want to do this? You're telling me that this is better? I'm pretty good the way I am. I enjoy life the way it is now. So it's true, we should analyze and understand what the Rambam's talking about. But we have to know that it's not going to be easy, because we are steeped in this world and this world's pleasures. And with every move we make in life, we're being pulled up, we're being pulled down, and it's very difficult to overcome that pull. It's not easy. I'm just giving this introduction because even when we're going to try to think of this, it's very easy to put it aside and say, life's good. And what we're really saying when we say that is, I want to do what I want to do. So that's natural, that's normal, but if we ever want to get somewhere, we have to overcome that. And that's a lifelong battle. In every decision a person has this battle. So, good luck, and I hope you wish me good luck too. It's my battle, no different than yours. Okay, let's thank you.